Good afternoon, good morning. My name is Chuck, resident member of the Garrison Division. And this week, we're getting into the mind of a psychopath. We got my co-host.
It's your girl, Mikasa, not on the simp card this week, so I can claim myself again. And you're listening to another week of Black on Titan.
So, what'd you think about getting to Zeke's whole story after so long?
You know, after watching it again, it kind of was scary. Like, the first time I was watching it right after episode 14, and so it kind of ran together, which wasn't necessarily bad, but I feel like watching the episode separately gave me different emotions than the first time when I watched it. And I already said Grisha was a bad number one daddy. but damn, Grisha is definitely the bad guy here.
Oh, Grisha might just be the villain of this whole entire show series because he is terrible. Like, he is
earlier. It's something wrong with them Jaeger jeans, though. It's bad all up and down the line.
I mean, it is, but Grisha, he is up there in the bad anime dads category now.
Yeah. Like,
he wasn't there the first three seasons. Like, he wasn't part of, like, oh, he's a bad dad. It was just kind of like, he's mid. But, like, after this, he's a terrible father.
I mean, he wasn't necessarily the best dad because it's not like he played with Aaron either, shit. He made Aaron go on house calls with him, so... I mean, I guess that was a step up, but Grisha is definitely on the list with Gene.
Yeah, Gene. Like, I think where I would I would put him somewhere. He's definitely in the Gene, Goku, Hohenheim list, at least for me. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he is.
He's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you are Team Grisha, you should reevaluate that.
You're Team Grisha. You had to be disappointed after this week.
I mean, it definitely took a turn for the worse for Grisha's character.
My goodness. Like, and it's funny because, and I know we're about to get into it and whatnot, but, like, it's kind of like Grisha abused Zeke because of the abuse that the Eldians were receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, it kind of made me sad because it's like you're perpetuating the abuse of your abusers and you don't even really know why. Like, you think you do. You think you have a plan, but you really don't know why you're yelling at this little boy.
But I don't even think he thought he was being abusive.
He definitely didn't. He definitely didn't. And a lot of abusers don't think they're being abusive.
I think he took it more as out of love.
Oh, man. Like, yeah, that was some tough love. I know you could do it, Zeke, next day.
Whew, yikes. Okay, since we're going to talk about it, we might as well get into it.
You ready to get to the episode?
Let's do it.
Cool.
So this week's episode, Soul Salvation, started us off with young Grisha and young Zeke and what's her girl name? Dinah.
Yeah, and Dinah Fritz, the favorite cameo.
And they were on a clock tower looking over the city of Liberia. And they apparently were outside of the city's walls. And Grisha was explaining, you know, how Zeke, you want to get out of here and see the world one day and all that stuff. And Zeke honestly didn't look like he was trying to see the world. But based off of what we see later from Grisha, I can understand why Zeke honestly just like, whatever, bro. But so while they were on the clock tower, it was just to see the janitor come up and look at them and was like, oh, happy family. And then for him to realize they were aliens and like his face completely changed, I was just like, damn, that's crazy. It's like you're actively racist at this point. And it's just like, you really could have just been like, y'all, even if you were going to be racist, it could, I don't know, it could have been milder, maybe.
Mild racism.
So it was just
more,
like
more northern than deep south.
Basically, it was just like, I don't know about that. But
I mean, no, a stereotype, gotcha. Not reality.
Gotcha. And so I'm just like, you literally had to go all the way and throw your whole bucket of water on them, the water that you need to clean the floor up here, and you're gonna have to go back down the steps to go get more water because you felt the need to throw it on these aliens. And it's just like, you're putting a lot of work into your racism at this point. And it's just fucked up.
My bad. But like, it was really fucked up because of, like, the first thing I thought about is, like, you know how back in the day, like in the 40s and whatnot, if black people went into a store that was like white only or whatever, they get like stuff thrown at them or like a mm-hmm. bucket of water thrown at them and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it really kind of stuck out to me. I was like, man, they treating them just like pre-civil rights folk. And then mm-hmm. Grisha's all like, remember this and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like,
those are more things that you should probably not want your child to remember
at all. And look how it turned out. Like,
he remembered it all right.
And oh my gosh. I'm just really, that whole scene and how it played out with the Grisha and Diana and Zeke just really experiencing racism for the first time, I believe. Like, I feel like that was Zeke's first time getting called an inner with the hard R. Like, that was Zeke's first time getting hit with the hard R.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was really formative for him just down the line.
I mean, obviously, we see that.
Like, I feel like he's dripping wet for the rest of his life, metaphorically.
Okay. A better choice of words next time. But Zeke and Grisha and Dinah leave the clock tower, and you know, they're still getting told, oh, you ruined my day. And you know, that's just like, oh, I see an alien on an armband. Oh, let me stop drinking my coffee and call them out their name. It's just like, okay, next. And so Zeke, obviously, you know, doesn't want to be a warrior. And he is, you know, just seeing his dad put everything before him. And I think that was just also sad. All of these things are, you know, telling us a story about who Zeke really is and why he is the way that he is. And I think they wanted us to have sympathy for Zeke with this episode.
Yeah, definitely.
And
I mean, my bad.
No, you continue.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, with the abuse that he suffered in the pre-title sequence, and then it opens up, and then the next thing you see is him lagging behind everybody. Like, they was really trying to set up the, oh, woe is Zeke angle in this episode.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Zeke obviously sucks with the Warriors, and, you know, you see it all over his face throughout any time he's interacting with them. And then, you know, he's taken to his grandparents, and it's, I don't know, his grandparents are very interesting characters because, you know, they also are a part of the Jaeger evolution. But they, you know, are teaching Zeke one history, and you know, Zeke obviously is getting told another history at home, and he just wants to spend time with his parents because he is an only child. And so I can understand wanting to spend time with your parents, especially if you don't have any siblings and you got to stay with your old ass grandparents and, you know,
play your parents out going to the little revolutionary meeting.
Right. Especially because he's learning one thing at warrior training and he's learning one thing at home. And it's just, that's hard on a child, even an adult. But, you know, the brainwashing can only work so many ways when you're teaching them different things. So I don't know if Grisha didn't understand that as a doctor, but, you know.
See, I feel like, because, like, after Zeke was, like, sucking or whatnot the first time, and when they're on their way to their grandparents, and his mom and dad are just like, you could, like, you're special, Zeke. You're destined to pretty much be Jesus for us. Mm-hmm. Like, you have all of these special powers, and you're going to be a soldier because you're important, and you're our son. And this reassurance of Zeke as who he is, it's kind of when, like, juxtaposed to the story that his grandfather is teaching him, like you said, it's really addles your mind, you know, because he has this positive reinforcement about who he is and what he's doing and what's going on. And then he's getting told that Eldians aren't shit by pretty much everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And
that makes it hard to believe too, Grisha, as a child, because, you know, you're seeing all the things and saying, like, this is not possible. And then, you know, your dad's telling you, like, you have to be, you're the chosen one and stuff. And, you know, you're going to lead this revolution back to where we're going. And, you know, it's probably hard for him to just, like, okay, bro, you're lying. This thing is lying. Like, I don't even believe you. And I think it was just, like, easier for him to, like, sink into, you know, his disposition. But
can I ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
So, you know, that's before Grisha and Diana dipped off to the
Dinah. You called this girl everything but her name.
Before Grisha, and it's funny because Grisha is daddy number one, and Dinah is baby mama number one. So,
question.
The question is, you know, like when they was talking to his grandfather, and he was like, "You're going off to revolutionary meeting again." And
he said, "Dance social."
Well, I mean, but we know it's not a dance social.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're having that conversation, and Grisha's like, "But it's for the wellness of Liberia." Do you think that the grandparents actively support what Grisha is trying to do, or are they more just along the lines of, "We love our son, so we're not going to actively like hamper what he's doing"?
The latter. I think they know Grisha, and especially after Faye, I think they know what Grisha's doing and who Grisha is. I think they want to play their part and, you know, be the good Eldians and everything. And I don't think they just like don't put me in it.
Gotcha.
And like, we'll watch Zeke for you, but, you know, we still not Zeke parents and you still need to be a parent. But I think that's probably more the angle that they're coming from. Not necessarily like, I agree that you are doing what you're doing, but, you know, if he got them killed, I don't think they would turn that man in. Son or not.
So you think they definitely snitch on Grisha?
Definitely.
Yeah. Probably. Even though it was kind of interesting when the grandfather asked Zeke about if his dad was teaching him our actual history and whatnot. And then he got into the warrior business. And it was just kind of like, it kind of made me wonder which side of the fence that they actually stood on. So that's kind of why I asked you the question, because that kind of I feel like in that moment it kind of solidified where Zeke stood, because you know, like how they at the end of the scene they was flashing out and he looked at Faye.
Mm-hmm.
And then like later, like I feel like the whole story about Faye and the Eldians kind of, I feel like that sits with him just as much as anything else.
Of course.
There's so, like, I feel like there's like, oh, like there is so much going on in this episode this week.
A lot of layers, definitely.
They just stuffed everything they could about Zeke into one episode. Gave us 20 minutes of Zeke, and it felt like longer. It did. That's just because there's so many, like you know how like last week or the 14th episode, like there are pretty much really only four scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Like and this week, it's like there's a new scene every 2 minutes.
True.
But after Zeke leaves his, the scene afterwards, Zeke leaves his grandparents' house, we get to see him sucking it up some more in military training. Like the, I don't know, do you know his name? The boss, the commander dude.
Maggot?
No, is that Maggot?
Yes.
Oh, young Maggot looks different.
How could you not tell that was young Maggot?
I did not peep. Huh. I haven't seen Maggot in so long either.
Mm.
So he just was not on my mind. But yeah, they flashed to Zeke messing the game up and like can't even put together his rifle. He's having a pretty bad day at warrior training.
Mm-hmm. Like every day?
Like every day. Like, but like it has to be a special type of embarrassment to mess up on your gun and lose the part and it lands right in front of your commander after he's telling you that. Like, you know, that Colonel Payne, how Colonel Payne was talking bad to them.
Mm-hmm. Like,
that was Maggot on Zeke's ass every day. And so, like, it had to be a special type of humiliating. Because you see everybody else in the Warrior program, they putting the guns together like Terminator, like smooth. Like, they trained assassins. And then Zeke over here fumbling. Can't even put a cartridge in or assemble the rifle after cleaning it. So I just, I don't know. I feel like that was a especially humiliating day. But he gets out early that day and he's walking home and he's all sad. And then he sees some little kid playing ball with his dad. And he's like, oh, shoot, I have an idea. I think that in this moment, he sees that it doesn't matter necessarily, or at least he thinks that it doesn't matter if you're Eldian or not. You can still have that familial relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But when he gets home, he's ready to talk to his dad, and he's like, yeah, I got off early. We can, you know, like, let's do something. Like, please. He kind of reminds me of my dog. My dog, we asked him to go for a walk. And Zeke is, not Zeke, but and Grisha is just like, you know what, since you're off early, we can hit the books some more. That way we can make sure that you get the proper type of inoculation, the proper type of what's the word I'll try to use, propaganda drilled into your head regarding the Marlians. Mm-hmm. And Eldian's relationships. And that's when we find out what the actual history, even though I'm not sure that's the actual history of the Eldians, because the way I see it is there are two sides to the story and both of them are probably lies.
So, I mean, honestly, Marley and Eldia are literally like Great Britain in the United States. They're literally two sides of the same coin, historically speaking.
So, like, you know when Grisha is telling Zeke about how the Titans didn't go and destroy these cities, mm-hmm. and that the founder Ymir, and then Zeke's like, yeah, the founder Ymir wouldn't want that. Do you think that they didn't do it, or you think that they did do some of the stuff that was being alluded to? And of course, Marley, we know Marley's transgressions since then and continuing into present day.
I think that they were both people at war, ultimately. And I think once Titans became into the picture, that just made even bigger wars. Because if you look at it, you know, Ymir, the original founding Titan, was a slave, and then turned to a concubine. So she, you know, gave birth to Eldians and created an Eldian and Titans and, you know, people that were subjects of Ymir because of circumstance, not because I don't know if she was necessarily Eldian. And so, you know, the history behind that is still bad. And, you know, regardless of Eldians now and stuff, it's still the origins are not necessarily different from Marley.
I get that. Yeah, that's definitely true. What was I about to say? And so then after the history lesson, or during the history lesson, Zeke answers a question, right? And he gets really happy because his dad's like, you're finally getting it.
And he patted him on the head. And he was just like, oh, yes, daddy.
It made his whole day.
It did. And that's really sad because that man know he can get outside and play ball with that boy. If you are a parent and you are listening, take your child outside into the sun and do activities with them.
Please, we're begging you.
Don't. Like, they had that man in there studying books. Don't have your child in there studying tablets, books. Take your child outside every once in a while. And that's all Zeke really wanted. And maybe he could have been a better person. And we wouldn't be exactly where we are right now. Think about it. Your child could be Zeke if you don't take them outside.
Just give them a little bit of attention.
A little bit.
Please, more than a little
10 bit. 10 minutes a day, at least. but of like undivided attention.
Do more than just, you know, cook for your child or provide a roof over their head.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a parent, but
yeah. We're really talking shit like we got kids. But
after Zeke gets, and it's funny because we both agree that Grisha is a very abusive father.
Definitely.
And this is, by my count, two times where Grisha has reaffirmed Zeke. And he's reaffirmed his feelings, even though the second time definitely, and the first time was self-serving when they were going to the grandparents' house because he's using Zeke, honestly. And then the second time, it was still kind of self-serving. So even though he's done these reassuring and these seemingly caring gestures to prop Zeke up, they're more based on Grisha. And they're more based on how Grisha feels and what Grisha thinks. And pretty much the world is revolving around Grisha and Zeke is just caught in his orbit. Mm-hmm. But after that, we see Magath giving another Colonel Payne speech. And he's talking about that Zeke, he's pretty much soft and he's not ready to give what it takes to be a warrior. And yeah, he's about to kick him out of warrior school. And that is ending his day pretty badly. It's another bad day for Zeke. Like we said, it's pretty much every day. And as he's walking out, he comes across a baseball. And He tosses it back.
And who does he toss it back to? His groomer.
His groomer.
I mean, oh, his mentor. I'm sorry. So Tom Cassava is the Beast Titan at this moment. And we're trying to figure out how does a man this old become a Titan.
That is the most important
program. With this program is like from children ages 7 to 18. And how did you sneak in this program? Like, what does your resume look like? Because at this point, you were a liar. You pretended to be a Marlian to get a woman. And not only did you get a woman, you married her, liar. And then you got her pregnant and gave her a child under false pretenses. And you are blaming, you know, yourself, but also you think that you get to deserve to commit suicide in Titan form? What? And you don't even combat? Like, you get to study. Like, I feel like this is, like, the nicest form of jail somebody could ever ask for. And I'm not sure how I feel about that. On top of him being a groomer.
See, I mean, his grooming, as you put it, starts early. Like, when he...
How long was he in Titan form at that point when he met Zeke?
I don't know, because we see later Zeke is like... Because, like, how old is Zeke right now? He's like 10 tops.
I'll say, yeah, 10, 11.
So we see when Zeke turns about like 15, that's when he gets the Titan.
Is he 15? Or is he older?
I mean, at least 15.
Let me see how old is Zeke. Because I looked up Tom because I need to look up the R. Kellys. But he was, you know, when Grisha and Faye passed him when they were looking for the airplanes when they were kids, that was an 8:17. It's 8:45 when Grisha and all this stuff happens, starts. So that's 28 years that has passed since Grisha was a kid and he was walking down the street and an older person passed Grisha and then him meeting Zeke. Well, that's probably like 24 years before he met Zeke. But still, that's a long time.
I mean, that's back when he was gallivanting that he wasn't an Eldian. And, you know, he was getting some Marley and loving and having a family and stuff.
Interesting.
But
yeah, that was a Tom tangent. I had to talk about it. We have to address the elephant in the room because I just feel like that older man that's like, why was he always at the practices and stuff?
Because
like, where was the other Titans?
Okay, that is a question, because I want to see who's the armor Titan before.
Right.
But like, because he would know how he was talking about that, like, in his first introduction to Zeke or whatever, and he was talking about, I think that was his first introduction, but how he was just talking about he was, like, he wasn't that good in war and whatnot as the Beast Titan. I think that they let him kind of use his brain for all intents and purposes for their they let him pretty much be the brains behind the operation because he wasn't good in war. Because unlike how Zeke developed this throwing motion or this throwing power, because he's a great pitcher, which back to our last episode with
I forgot the correlation.
But like, I don't think that Beast Titan number one or Daddy number two, depending on how you want to look at it, I don't think that he had any special type of power like that. Like, honestly, if the Beast Titan, like Zeke, if Zeke wasn't throwing rocks, like Zeke would have been completely, I'm not going to say completely useless, because you out there, you a big monkey. You could smack some shit, you know?
He still can climb a tree against Levi.
Listen. With a brief time out. You know that the poll that I have sent you from the Attack on Titan wiki about which was the most over or equally matched fight between the fights that we seen last week. Honestly, I think he would have had a better chance trying to smack Levi than throwing.
I mean, the trees weren't the ideal territory for him to succeed. That was Levi's playground. So he was never going to win on that playing field.
I mean, he wasn't going to win, period.
I mean, true, but I'm just saying, on that playing field, like, the odds just were never going to be in his favor. That's why it was so easy to snatch him up out that body.
True. And see, like, that's why I don't think that, or that's why I think that they kind of let Cassaver's old self, even though I'm really, even though, you know, very, very concerned about how, when, where, and why he was able to join this youth program at the right young age of 54.
Not for real. But, talking about, I wanted to commit suicide. Man, you almost dead.
Like, all you gotta do is just close your eyes for a little bit longer every morning. You'd be gone by the end of the year. Like, oh, man. Like, because he's older than Magus. Like,
I don't think he's older than Magus. He might be on the same age as Magus.
Nah, because Magus, in this time, Magus looks like he's like a smooth 30.
But it's probably only been 10 years from this point to where they are now. So,
I see. I don't know.
And I think that's pushing you because, well, I'll say when I saw when Magus was younger, okay, probably about 15 years. So, Magus looked like he's about 40.
Yeah, Magus looked like he's about 40 now. Cassaver looked like he was about 40 then.
I think he just got an old face. You know how some people just look older in the face. You know their daddy be old.
Man. He lived a couple of lives. So.
Mm-hmm. He's seen a lot too, so. Mm-hmm. But, okay. So, Zeke inherited the Beast Titan in 842. Mm-hmm. At the age of 17, 842, he saw Grisha in 817.
See, that man old. I told you that
you
man
did.
Is older than Magus.
He did. Nah, he played too much though. He played too much.
Like, shoot.
They really should have did something with this age battle. But
then they couldn't make his story as sad.
You're right. But okay. So, Zeke meets Tom, the Beast Titan. And, you know, they're playing baseball together. And Zeke is so happy because he finally found somebody that would actually throw a ball to him and not make him read books and study all day. And I think that, you know, good for him, but it's sad that he's so vulnerable. Anybody could come and take advantage of this young man.
But, you think Zeke learned stranger danger?
Of course not. They won't even teach these people how to throw a ball. You think they teach him stranger danger? But, you know, Tom talks to him and tell him, like, hey, I saw you sucking the other day. And he was like, you don't seem like, you know, you want to be a warrior candidate. And Zeke looks, you know, he's just like, you know, but I got to be one. Like, I don't have no choice. And, Tom, you know, talks to him. He tries to relate to him and tells him, like, he knows that he's not interested in war or anything like this. Like, he has bigger ideas. And Zeke, like, yeah, I do, Daddy. I do have bigger ideas. And Tom told him that, you know, he shouldn't want to be a warrior. And Zeke looking around like, man, you're not supposed to be saying shit like that. You're going to get us caught. But Zeke, once he finds a friend in Tom, he kind of,
you got a friend in me,
you know, wants to renew his energy just so he can be around Tom. But then he goes home excited, and then he hears his daddy and his mom talking to, this is after he got cut, and he hears his daddy and his mama talking to Falco's uncle. And
that's Falco's uncle? Yeah. Oh, that is the one that got taken away.
Yeah, got turned into a titan. But yeah, they were talking to Falco's uncle, who had got word from the owl that Zeke, you know, wasn't doing good in the warrior program. And Grisha was hot. Like, you know, Zeke is hearing, listening to all this, and, you know, he really only hears disappointment from his daddy, really. And he's eavesdropped. Why are you laughing?
This scene is funny. It's not funny. And okay, I know it's not, I was about to say it's not funny in a ha ha way, even though I'm laughing. But like, the way that they bust up out that room, like, everybody's clearly scared, but the way they bust out that room, and he's like, I know you could do it. Like, he's like,
he didn't even apologize for it. He listened. Hey, I'm having him hear him. He just like, oh yeah, you heard me. So you need to do better.
He's all, Luke, you're our only hope on this shit. Like, Zeke is, they take it out the hood. And yeah. It's, I don't know, just watching it the first time, I was like, oh my gosh. Watching it the second time, I was like, okay, so this is another layer of abuse that Grisha is performing. Mm-hmm. But it was just, I found humor in the correlations to it. That's why I was laughing.
Gotcha. So, you know, Zeke tries to go back to the open training, and Maggie's like, why are you here? I told you not to come. Like, I need to tell you, if you're not serious, you need to stay your ass at home. And Zeke's like, let me in open training. And you think that Zeke came and actually showed up and showed out? You thought wrong. Zeke came and did this usual same sucking that he normally does. But not only did he suck, he stopped in the middle of his running and looked at his daddy and watched his daddy walk away from him.
Okay.
Imagine your father walking away from you because you suck so bad.
Yo, that's like, it's like you have a kid. Or you have a kid and they ride in the bench on the football team. You show up to the game and then it's like the third quarter and they still ain't got in. So you hit the car early and you out the stadium. Like, and you do it as they're looking up at you from the bench.
Yeah, that's probably what that felt like. Okay. And I felt for Zeke in that moment.
I did, because...
And that's why I feel like poor parenting leads to your child down the wrong path. This is a program for do the right thing for parenting.
See, it definitely is, because when his dad left, Zeke was shook. And
Maggie, while he was being yelled at.
Right. Maggie starts tearing to his ass. But then you have daddy number two over there. And he's like, my poor son. My poor boy. Like, and you just kind of see this flip where Grisha has completely pretty much given up on him. Mm-hmm. As we soon see. And when Grisha's giving up on him, it's like Tom has decided to completely invest in him.
Mm-hmm. And fill that void. Because Tom was there when he saw Grisha leave.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, it was like Tom was there. And then, like, you know, the next scene where Grisha, I guess Grisha and the gang are talking about he'll never be a warrior at this rate.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that just, for Zeke to constantly hear that, like, his self-worth must be in the crapper, you know?
Definitely. They don't aid it.
Well, yeah. Then Cassava pretty much calls Zeke on it. He's like, yeah, you were pretty trash yesterday. What's up with that? And he's like, yeah, it never seemed like you wanted to be a warrior. And then Zeke's like, well, I kind of have to become a warrior or else, you know, I can't do anything that my parents want me to do. And Cassava's like, man, being a warrior, oh, that's stupid. Like, why you even want to do that? So Zeke and Tom are playing catch. And after they play catch, after they're having a discussion about the personalities, Zeke has, you know, his chores to do and whatnot. And he's kind of just resigned to, even if he has to fail the warrior program, that he's going to. So as he's leaving, he starts hearing these tips about that they're closing in on his parents. And that they know about the owl, and it's only a matter of time before they piece everything together. And that, so then after that,
so Zeke tells his daddy everything that's going on, and he was just like, I'll still want to play catch with you when I turn into a titan. And I'm just like, okay, next. So he basically starts crying too, like, you know, trauma bonding that they've been doing. And he was just like, you have to tell him your parents. And he said that if you tell him your parents, they'll probably spare your grandparents. And I'm just like, how does he know this? And I'm just like, did Zeke tell him that, you know, his grandparents teach him right, but his parents teach him wrong? Or, you know, who knows what Zeke probably told this man. But Zeke spilled all the beans and convinced him to snitch on his parents. And then they, then Tom shares his, you know, information on his research that he's been doing. And then Zeke suggests that they euthanize Eldians because Tom is, you know, upset because of his issues with his wife committing suicide and killing the son because of Tom's lies. And so he feels like, you know, maybe life would be nice if I was never born. I feel like life probably would have been nice if he didn't lie, but, you know, tomato, tomato. And Zeke also feels like, you know, life would be better if I wasn't born or we weren't able to have kids. And so they, you know, come up with this euthanization plan.
See, the euthanization plan, after, I want to get back to something after this, but the euthanization plan, it's not saving anybody. Like, you're not really saving future Eldians. You're just making sure that they don't exist. And you're not saving the people right now because they're still going to be enduring all of the bull that they're enduring being Eldians beforehand, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not saving anybody any suffering. You're probably just making life worse. Like, the only benefit of this is that you can shoot the club up all you want because you can't have no kids. Like,
I guess that's one way to look at it.
But who else benefits? I mean, I guess you kind of screw Marley over because they don't have any Titan warriors anymore. But at what expense? At the expense of all the Eldians not being alive? Because it's like, imagine if Black people got together and said, you know what? We're so sick of all this racism that every Black male is getting a vasectomy and all Black women are getting their tubes tied because we just don't want to any future generations to experience any more racism. Like, that is very... That's a short-sighted plan. Like, and it's very defeatist. It's like, okay, we give up type of attitude. And I don't like that.
I completely understand, considering that that does happen to Black women in jail quite often. But well, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah. Well, I was saying, like, by choice, not by systemic mishandling and, frankly, abusive rights. But, yeah, like, I just, that whole plan, like, it I think it's a dumbass plan. It made me feel bad. And just,
I mean, yeah, it was, and basically genocide.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think that they would have been better off trying to become, like, do the rumbling or something. Like, I know they knew about that too at that point, because Cassava been studying Titans since forever. He probably was studying Titans before he became one, honestly.
Say him getting Titan memories just added to that,
right?
But yeah, so Zeke ends up becoming the Beast Titan, and he wears his daddy's glasses in memory of him. And it's very interesting to me because Zeke didn't even wear glasses before that. And this man really wears them to see. So are you just wearing glasses with no prescription?
See, okay, you know how, like, they talk about, like, when you inherit a Titan, the past person pretty much becomes a part of you or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
You're some type of new being that is composed of all of the former Titan shifters.
Mm.
So, in some ways, you might...
Like, all for one.
Yeah. Or one for all.
Yeah.
And it's like you... you kind of pick some traits that might make you more comfortable in your new body. So that's why he got the glasses, because the combined Titans or whatever would have been more comfortable with that personal artifact. Besides the fact that Zeke has a very close relationship with this man.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of close relationships, you know when Zeke snitched and Cassava was like, you're a good kid, you're a smart kid, and all of this whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and to make the adoption official. Like, I just thought that that part was, because I know you've talked about it, like, he was grooming him, but that part was kind of creepy. Like, the first time I seen it, I was like, oh, like, because it kind of seems like Cassava really does care for him. I mean, as he later said, he was looking for a son in him.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt real icky the second time I watched it. Like, that's mm-hmm. when I really got that grooming vibe that you were talking about.
Because they had a very twisted relationship. And Zeke even calls him dad. After he eats him.
See, Zeke's relationship with his father's, I mean, speaking of who Zeke calls dad, like, you see, like, when Zeke...
He was talking to Aaron?
When he was talking to Reiner.
Oh.
And when Reiner was giving him the report about Aaron having the founding titan and all of that whatnot, and Zeke was asking the questions like, Jaeger, like, is... like, what
did he mention who his father was?
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, he's just a doctor, or he's a doctor, and all of this, whatnot. And then he pieced it together and he was like, wait, so that father who was alive this whole time,
he was crying.
I mean, because at that point, he realized that the abuse that he endured at the hands of Grisha, it kind of accumulated in his head. And he realized off of the love that he had received from Cassaver. Like, I feel like he had a lot of realizations about Grisha as an abuser. Cause he straight up said, like, you've been brainwashed to Aaron. Which, I mean, that's neither here nor there. Because they were both have been brainwashed by Grisha and other people. Aaron to a lesser degree, because I think Aaron brainwashed himself from a young age, but they both pretty much have been brainwashed at this point. And when he's talking about his, like, that pretty much the whole reasoning for it is that he wants to come and rescue Aaron is because the lies and the things that Grisha told and how he feels that will impact Aaron, and he feels like he can do better for Aaron, you know? But he doesn't ever really come rescue him. Aaron pulls up in Marley, and
in previous seasons, when Zeke has gotten close, he's always said that he's wanting Aaron. And you know, even when Reiner and Bertolt did, you know, the Battle of Shiganshika, they always, you know, said that they wanted Aaron. And, you know, Zeke was very adamant about wanting Aaron. And now I understand.
Why?
Yeah. I mean, obviously it was to get his hands on, you know, the founding titan. Mm-hmm. But to hear, like, you know, Tom was like, get it, find somebody you can trust.
He feels he could trust Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he can trust Aaron.
Well, no one should trust Aaron.
Yeah, nobody should trust Aaron, including Flock. But when Aaron and Zeke are talking in Marley, and they're discussing the plans that Zeke has for the Eldians and everything.
That's the word. It was just so, like, the way he used it, I just wasn't expecting that verbiage.
Because he was talking about he smeared them across the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. First off, Grisha's attack titan was very weird, too. He was a hairy man. It was like he was a beast attack titan.
Yeah. Because he didn't even look like Aaron Kruger.
No. And it's funny because, like, Aaron does look a lot like young Grisha.
Mm-hmm.
But their titans look nothing alike. Which is kind of weird to me. But Aaron says, like, nah, their dad was wrong. And he says that he was wrong, too. And I don't think that means what Zeke thinks it means. Because I don't think that Aaron... Because just a couple of episodes ago, when he was in jail, Aaron was talking about fight, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that he would be saying that he wants to fight and meaning that after saying, oh yeah, like if we never existed, then like what's that Drake line? Anyway. But when he's talking about like, yeah, if we never existed and none of these people have to die in our plan, it would be better. Like, that doesn't sound like that's the plan you're going for when you're talking about fight.
Mm-hmm.
2 months, well, not 2 months. Well, how many months? A couple months later, you know? Like, that just doesn't correlate to me. So, I think that when he says that he was wrong, he's talking about he was wrong in what he thought it would take for him to execute his plan, and that he's going to do what he can to make sure that his plan goes right, because he's talking about he's going to end 2,000 years of Titan domination and he's going to save everybody. But I just really don't think that it is what Zeke thinks it is.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he starts tearing up at pretty much at the thought of having a brother, I kind of think, like, at the mm-hmm. thought of having this sibling having some affection that he can experience, he kind of loses himself.
And you're saying Zeke or Aaron?
Zeke.
Yeah, I think.
But yeah, then they agree, and Zeke is like, yeah, I would shake on it, but I don't think we should make contact just yet. And from what we know about people with royal blood touching Aaron, I'm just kind of curious about what he thinks is going to happen. Because if Aaron touched his, if Aaron is the dad of Historia's child, there was a lot of touching involved. So, and then when Aaron touched Dina, like, there was no, it's not like Aaron fell out, or like there was nothing that happened to either party. So I'm just really curious about what Zeke thinks is going to happen if they shake hands at this point.
Yeah, but you never know.
I mean, he does, because Daddy Number Two was talking about you're the key to the lock and all of that stuff.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is maybe that he still doesn't know. You know, he's the key to the lock, but that doesn't mean that the key and the lock have ever met and be two different people. Obviously, no one's going to get the founding title unless they kill Aaron, and that's not happening. You know, no one outside of the royal family has ever had the founding titan and not the royal blood. So we technically don't know.
So Zeke doesn't know anything. And that is, so Aaron's just keeping that on. You think that Aaron, because we know Aaron knows what happens when he touches royals. So I think that Aaron's just keeping all his cards.
I think he only
chest.
Knows like certain things. Like, I feel like we don't even know the extent of the power of the founding titan.
We don't. I mean,
so it's like, we know what happened when he touched Dinah Fritz's hand, and like, we know when he touched Astoria's hand, he saw stuff. So it's like, you know, different things are happening. So who knows all what the founding titan is able to do?
From my summation, the Founding Titan can do whatever the Founding Titan wants to do. It's the Warhammer Titan on steroids.
I mean, like, if they can change body chemistries of all Eldians, I mean, that's pretty badass.
Yeah. But then, like, we also see, like, remember when Zeke yelled last episode and it affected Eldians across parity? Like, I'm wondering the range of those powers.
Mm-hmm. But, oh, I actually watched a video on that when they talked about how, you know, everybody felt when Zeke had used his voice to turn those people into Titans. And they were saying that, you know, people could feel, the people who shook and stuff like that, those people were people who had the wine, so they had some of the spinal fluid in them, but they were too far, they weren't in range enough to hear a command from Zeke, essentially.
So it's kind of like the, like, you know, like when you flip a light switch and it's in the middle and it's kind of like just flickering.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like that. Their body was buffering to turn into Titans.
I don't want to say it was buffering. I feel like because his voice does something anyway, like they could feel because of his voice, it was a reaction to the, I don't know if necessarily it meant that they were about to go Titan or if it was like a call to like all the people who got some of his DNA.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, well, speaking of DNA, Zeke solidifies his brotherhood with Aaron by passing on the baseball keepsake. And that is the same ball that Aaron played with, that Aaron used to kind of gain Falco, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
But yeah, Zeke, I think that moment when Zeke was sharing that ball with Aaron, because, and I don't think I like Zeke that much as a character, even though, like, I like him as a character, but I don't think I like his character that much. But when he shared that ball with Aaron, because after watching this episode, all Zeke wants to do is be loved, honestly, and make sure that Eldians never existed. But that was really sentimental to me because it showed that he, what happens. And do I think that it is possible that Zeke is just trying to use Aaron? Absolutely. But I do think that that whole thing, it was just like, oh, Zeke really just wants a brother, you know?
I guess. Looking for love in all the wrong places.
But speaking of the wrong places, after that, Zeke kind of wakes up.
Mumbling.
With Levi looking down at him. Yeah, he's mumbling about he's going to save the Eldians. He's going to save Eldia.
Through euthanasia.
Like, and I personally need a better explanation about why they think that this is actually saving anybody, because it's by definition not. Just make sure that they don't exist. So,
and Levi's like, euthanasia? You about to be eaten by a Titan, boy.
Levi is truly not stunting him. Like, Levi don't care about nobody playing. Levi just want this man dead.
I just want to know why he driving so far to go to a Titan.
Because, I mean, but that tree is all the forest is all the way out in the middle of nowhere. It kind of has to, right?
I guess.
But Zeke is kind of going, and it's pouring down rain, which is just everybody's luck. But Zeke is mumbling and talking about he's a soul salvation to everybody. He's going to save everybody. And that's when Levi realizes that Zeke isn't healing. So he's about to start cutting him off some more when Zeke shows just how desperate he is. And honestly, a quick pause to say thank you for Mappa for animating this scene like they did, because the slow motion and like the raindrops dropping as Zeke is about to yank his neck to blow his body up, it was just beautiful to me, and I really enjoyed it. But
you really enjoyed Levi getting blown up?
No, I enjoyed the artwork, the animation, not what happened.
Okay, I'll allow it.
But yeah, Zeke yanks his head, and Levi kind of notices what's going on, and then there's a boom, and that's how the season ends. We don't really know what happened to Zeke or Levi for sure. I'm pretty sure Levi ain't dead because he ain't about to go out like that. And I'm pretty sure Zeke isn't dead either.
No.
Because, yeah, I just don't see that being the thing. But, like, if Zeke isn't dead, he's clearly just banking on Levi to be mortally wounded or something. Because how fast do Titan bodies regrow? Like, can they grow? Can they control the rate of growth? Like,
yeah, I think so.
So, like with this explosion, can Levi regrow the bottom half of his torso before? I mean, can Zeke regrow the bottom half of his torso before Levi recovers? Like, that's my main question. But that ends the episode.
Okay. That was a lengthy review for 20 minutes. But it was very, very detailed in those 20 minutes. Yeah. A lot of things to unpack.
There were so much to unpack. But you want to get into the last couple segments?
Yeah. So we're going to bring back our sad ass of the week. Goodie. So I think there are a few sad asses of the week, but I'll start small with my little appetizer sad ass of the week. And we'll say we saw a small cameo of Annie.
We did. I loved it.
And Annie was in the background kicking dirt up. And I was just like, Annie still does not give a fuck. It's like interesting seeing young Annie not give a fuck. And it's just like, you know, she really was just like, I'm just doing it here so I can get my daddy honorary Marleyanship and stuff. And so it was just kind of sad, like, knowing more about her backstory, just seeing her, you know, just be in the background, not really bonding with them.
Yeah, I was kind of sad. I kind of, because, I mean, that quick little cameo of Annie, which kind of, I just hope that that means that we're going to get more Annie sometime soon. Or, you know, they could just keep her on ice for the rest of the series. Who knows? But that's a really good observation on that. I do kind of feel for Annie. Like, Annie, out of all of the Marleyan titans or soldiers or whatever, Annie is the one that I kind of feel for the most, even in her current predicament. Because she, like, she just wants to go home. Like, she was ready to go home at all times, like, even with Marcel. Like, and just thinking about all of the sadness that she has endured, right? Like, we're naming her the sad ass of the week, and all the sadness she's endured, and then just looking at her, that young moment. Like, this is before Zeke has even gotten his Titan. And then knowing everything that's about to happen for that group of kids in just a couple of years, it's like, damn, you know? My sad ass of the week, like, Zeke is the easy sad ass of the week, right? Because all the abuse, all of the psychological torture, all of the being the last kid picked on the gym court, like, all of that is very bad. But my sad ass of the week is going to go to Daddy number two, Beast Titan number one, Mr. Tom Saver himself. Because in a lot of ways, his story, and I mean, this is our first time meeting him outside of his silhouette at the end of the episode, but, like, his story, because his story, we got just as much of his story this episode as we did Zeke. And he really didn't have any moments of happiness outside of Zeke. And his moments of happiness that he did have with Zeke have driven the entire world to bullshit and have Zeke trying to euthanize the existence of all of the aliens. So just the fact that experiencing what he did with his family and losing them, and then being convinced that the only way to alleviate the problems of your people is to pretty much give up. Like, that's really, really sad. And then
bleak, definitely.
Yeah. And then to top it all off, like, and I know we touched on this earlier, but it might be even sadder that he was like the 35-year-old at spring break at the Warrior camp, because my G, that's just not a good look.
Or more like a senior citizen trying out for the NBA.
Like, but he got his Harper the Pervert on. He was able to do that much.
Definitely. But I had another sad ass, and I would say probably the saddest person this week is Dinah Fritz. Like, Dinah made the mistake of loving the wrong man, and look what it got her. Dead. Twice over.
So, you don't think that she was as complicit as Grisha was? Because, like, you know that scene when they was going in on Zeke, they was like, she was right there next to him.
I mean, complicit in the child abuse? Yes, definitely. But do I think that she was complicit in everything? I feel like she should have had a bigger voice. But I still feel sad for her. Because I don't know the political system here. Like, if she could have just been on her own. Or, you know, with a child or something like that. Or, you know, she felt probably like she had a duty to uphold. Also being part of a royal family. But, yeah.
I can see that, too. Well, on a happy
predictions?
Note, I was about to ask you if you had any. But my predictions, and I really didn't watch, I don't ever really watch the previews at this point, because they really don't reveal too much. It's just like a, here, nigga, quit banging. But I don't previews. Dislike the previews. It's just I can't glean anything from them. So I'm just kind of like, I'll wait till Sunday. But my prediction is, it's more dealing with, like, where the hell is Peak? We seen her like three, four episodes ago now. And ever since we seen her then, I'm not gonna say all hell has broken loose in Parody, but a lot of things have happened. And as far as we know, and actually no, I'm like 99.8% sure that the Marlins have had nothing to do with anything that's going on Parody up to this point. Like all of the civil unrest and stuff. So my prediction is that before we get into this, I mean, it's a quote unquote last episode, you know? So we're going to have to get some of our Marlians back on the screen to see how they affect what's going on. Like that's my prediction, that happens in some capacity. Because I also think Aaron's racing against some type of clock in regards to, like, I feel like Aaron might not know that Marley is attacking right now, but he knows something is imminent.
My guard is just
take all the time you need, my talented artist.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that does it for the show. Well,
yes.
In that case,
you can find me on Twitter at Prima Yana.
You can find me on Twitter at Chuck_mate_. And if you can find me there, you can find me anywhere.
I see that.
What about you?
I don't have any predictions. Just because I'm don't know where they're gonna pick up with the show. So hopefully next week we have some idea of what they're going to do next, if they're going to be releasing a part two. So then I'll make predictions.
Yeah, I just hope it's not a movie. I hope that there's a part two sooner rather than later. Like, if they need to let the manga finish, and then I know
that finished next month.
Like, if they need to let the manga finish, and then they animate the rest of the episodes in like the fall, I'd be happy with that. I could accept that.
Huh. Like you were offered it. Like you were offered it.
I mean, if that's what they want to offer, I'm just very anti-movie.
Wishful thinking.
Very anti-movie.
And thank you for listening to another week of Black on Titan. And you can email us at blackontitanaot@gmail.com. If you have any questions, concerns,
don't forget to rate and review us. 5 stars and 6 stars if you can.